Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in our teaching series, Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. Now, because this is a study session, we are not taking live phone calls today, but you can still get a question to us now or anytime at the usual number. That's 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But right now, let's get underway with today's broadcast. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and this is number 5. And here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is week number 5, and today's passage is from the book of Matthew, Matthew 16, and the passage is verses 13 through 23. And I just absolutely love this passage for a number of reasons. I like where it took place. It takes place in a region called Caesarea Philippi. That's in the very northern parts of Israel, about a 27 to 30 mile walk from the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful area. Jesus went there intentionally to talk with his disciples and to ask some questions. And it's one particular question that is the most compelling question that's ever been asked. And it really sets the foundation for all of Christianity. So it is a powerful, powerful passage. So let's just dive in.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus has been doing miracles, doing all sorts of things around the Sea of Galilee. There's a lot of buzz going on about who this Jesus is. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're trying to maintain their status. They're getting a little worried, a little threatened by this man named Jesus. So they're stirring up the waters. So it's just this whole buzz that is going on. And Jesus decides to take his disciples from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, all the little surrounding towns, Capernaum and Bethsaida and those particular places, and they go north to Caesarea Philippi. And it says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Mm-hmm. So when Jesus came on the scene and he started to do the things that he did, and he started to say the things that he said, he started to teach the things that he taught, people took notice. They started to scratch their heads and wonder, who could this be? Who is this? Is this the Messiah? Could this be the one, or maybe he's just a new prophet that's on the scene? But Jesus commanded attention.
Yes.
And that attention was happening back then. People were curious. And the same is true today. Just as people were talking about Jesus back when he walked the planet, they're talking about him today. Mm-hmm. I mean, every year, one of the major magazines puts an issue out about Jesus Christ, and it's always around this question, who is Jesus? The very thing that he asked, who do people say the Son of Man is? So the apostles, their ears were listening to what people were saying. They were interested because they had left everything to follow Jesus Christ. So they wanted to know what people were saying about Jesus, and in turn, what they would be thinking about them, those that were following Jesus.
Right.
So they were interested. So Jesus listens to their answers, and then he turns the question on them, and he says this, "But what about you?" he asks. "Who do you say I am?"
Now that's the important question.
That's the question. That is the most compelling question that's ever been asked, and that becomes, this particular question is the litmus test between death and life. Mm-hmm. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're going to remain dead eternally. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're going to experience eternal life. So that is the question. That is the significant question. So Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter stood up and answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Peter was just spot on with his answer. And that is just awesome to see. You know, Peter, he was putting his foot in his mouth all of his life.
Yeah.
But here on this occasion, he was given confidence and assurance that he knew exactly who this Jesus was. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just, Mr. Morality.
Right.
He wasn't any of those things. He was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So let's kind of set the stage. Again, Caesarea Philippi is about 27 miles north of the north shores of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus intentionally chose this place to ask this question. And one of the reasons that he chose, that he chose this place is because up in that region are the headwaters of the Jordan River. That's where the Jordan River begins. So Jesus Christ is the living water. And when we drink of him, then we get to participate and share in that living water, to be swept away from the things of this world by that living water. It was also a place of idolatry.
Yes.
That northern region, they had built the high places. Mm-hmm. Those were altars to foreign gods. And so idolatry had infested that area.
Yeah.
And boy, the people were worshiping all sorts of things.
Out of the gate of hell.
Yes,
right there.
Exactly. And so you go there, and as you get to some of the springs that bubble up, and the Jordan River flows out of there, you see this massive cliff. And
yes,
in this cliff is a cave. And that cave was known as the Gates of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought of that as the entryway into the dark world. A lot of sacrifices were made there to Pan, who was one of the gods. Some people, depending on who you read and what what the research says, some just said animal sacrifices were made there. Others say that human sacrifices were made there, that babies were thrown into this gate of hell to appease the gods.
Yeah.
So it was a horrifically dark place. But here's the deal. You and I were bound up by these dark forces. We were enslaved to the powers of sin and death. And it's this confession of Jesus Christ that sets us free. Just as Peter stood and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," when we come to that point in our life and recognize Jesus for who he is, that's when those powers of darkness lose their grip on us. We're set free, and we can be taken away from the darkness and enjoy new life in the river of life, mm-hmm, known as Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely. Well, friends, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. This is Session 5, and what I would like you to know is a significant teaching series, Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. And we're archiving each week of the study, and you can find the archive when you visit Basic Gospel and put a slash after the .net. So basicgospel.net/teaching, and that will take you to the archive. We encourage you to take advantage of it. Share it with your family and friends. Also want to remind you that knowing the truth and being able to be reminded of God's love and grace every day can help you start the day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you are indeed a child of God. And we think one of the very best ways for that to happen is by opening your email every morning, first thing, and finding the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. We hope you'll take advantage and subscribe right now if you can. BasicGospel.net/subscribe. The devotional is free, and we want you to have it. Again, that's BasicGospel.net. And just put the slash teaching after the .net, and that'll take you right there. So take advantage of it. But right now, back to Bob and favorite passage number five.
That's right. So it's Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23. So Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And that confession is common to every single believer.
Mm.
We all make that exact same confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, to this, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
So anything that we're going to know about Jesus, anything that we're going to know about God the Father is going to be revealed truth. It's not something that we can ascertain through intellectual pursuits, through normal academics, through human reason or logic. This is something that the Spirit of God has to reveal to us. The Spirit of God has to open our eyes to see the truth of who Jesus is, and in seeing the truth of who Jesus is, to understand the truth about God the Father. So Peter had walked with Jesus. He had listened to Jesus. He had heard Jesus speak. He saw Jesus perform miracles. But even then, it still took the revelation by God the Father for Simon to understand that Jesus indeed was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you know anything about God, if you know anything about Jesus Christ, if you know anything about the grace of God that saved you, the forgiveness of God that you have in Jesus, the righteousness of God that you have been made because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, this new identity that you have, the fact that you're a new creature in Christ, you know it because God's revealed it to you
Yes.
by His Spirit. So everything that we know about Jesus, everything that we know about God, everything we know about what Jesus accomplished for us is revealed truth, revealed by the Spirit of God for our understanding.
Right.
So that's how Simon was able to answer correctly. And Jesus says, "And I tell you that you are Peter." Now, that's Petros is the Greek word. And that means a stone that can be thrown or easily moved. So something that somebody could pick up with their hands and throw it, or maybe a bigger boulder, but something that you could move fairly easily. So that's what he's calling Peter, that you are this stone. And then he says, and on this rock. Now, this is Petra. So same root word, but Petra is a projecting rock, something that's big, something that's massive. It could mean a cliff or something like that, much like the cliff that was the backdrop for this question that Jesus asked. So he says, and I tell you that you are Peter, a stone, but on this rock, the rock of the confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he is going to build his church, and the gates of Hades, that's that place up there, will not overcome it. In other words, the dark forces are not going to overcome the church.
Not going to prevail.
That's right. They don't have the power to prevail against it. So that's good news. And then he says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now, that's kind of a strange statement,
is.
But I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a strange thing, and not to be want to be known as the Messiah when he truly was.
Yes, indeed. So what we learn from this particular section is that Peter's confession really is the cornerstone of the church. And why I say that, because it's a confession about Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. And so when we recognize and make that confession, then we are added to the church. And we are standing on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And evil forces, like we said, will not overpower the church. As a matter of fact, we read in the very first of these top 10 in Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus has already won the victory.
Yes.
And those forces of darkness have no opportunity to win against Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's already disarmed them. So Jesus is that rock. Our confession, we get added to the body of Christ. So this is good news. Now, One of the things that is very confusing in this particular section is the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, some will say this is, Jesus anointing him, Peter, as the first pope, and then, every other one has followed, has come after. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Word of God and you kind of see what happened in the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, for example, you start to understand what Jesus is talking about here, that the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Peter used to unlock the door to the kingdom, to the Jews, and then to the Samaritans, and then to the Gentiles. So we see in Acts chapter 2, Peter used the key to unlock the door. He told the Jewish people that this Jesus whom they crucified was the Christ. He is raised from the dead, and they could have forgiveness and life in him.
Yeah.
And 3,000 were added to the body of Christ that day. In Acts chapter 8, he's called to Samaria because the word of God has gone there. And he goes and he listens to what they believe, and then he adds to it. And as he's speaking, they receive the gift of the Spirit. And the key, he used the key to unlock the door to the Samaritans. And then when we move on to chapter 10, he goes to Cornelius's house. And Cornelius is a Gentile, and all of his household are Gentiles. And he gives them the word about Jesus, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And as he's speaking, the Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles. So Peter had to be there to unlock that door for each people group, mm-hmm. Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile.
Right.
And once that was done, then, boy, this gospel started spreading all over the world.
Very rapidly.
And so whatever you bind on earth, that's binding up the brokenhearted, and loosing on earth, that's setting the captives free. That's what the gospel does. It binds up the brokenhearted. It says we'll be bound in heaven and loosed in heaven. This was God's plan to take this gospel message to the world, to Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile. And God used Peter as the one to unlock the door for each of those people groups to receive the good news concerning Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
I said, and then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And we're gonna understand why he said that in this next section.
Well, this is Session 5. It's centered on Matthew 16:13-23, Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. As I said, it is number 5. And we're pausing just for a moment, friends, to remind you that Basic Gospel has many resources to help you understand and live in the incredibly good news of the gospel of Jesus. Now, you'll find them in the store under resources at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, friends, that we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming this good news of Jesus every day. So please help us. Help us keep the message going. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help with your gift today. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Well, again, this is number 5 in the series of Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. And once again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So this next section, verses 21 through 23, here's what Matthew wrote. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So the established truth number one in asking the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we need to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And we also need to know what he came to accomplish on our behalf. And here Jesus begins to spell out his mission to his disciples. And he says he's going to Jerusalem. So this is going to happen in Jerusalem. And it's going to happen outside the city gates, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things. He is going to be killed. And on the third day, he's going to be raised to life. So There it is in black and white. Mm-hmm. That is the gospel story. That is the good news. And he couldn't have said it any more clearer than what he did.
Without question, but very, very clear. If you can say that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's exactly right. So here's the foundation for that truth that Paul lays out in Romans 10. So it's very clear. Black and white, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem, so something's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He's going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. He is going to be killed, and on the third day, he's going to be raised back to life. Now, at this declaration, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, who in the world rebukes the Lord Jesus Christ?
Peter.
Peter. He's the guy. So he had just stood up. He had you know, won brownie points. He got the question right.
Yeah.
And the reason he did, because God the Father had revealed it to him. Mm-hmm. And now he's showing his ignorance as far as the mission. He says, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. Now, what he's referring to is the fact that Jesus is going to suffer and die. Nobody was thinking about resurrection. This idea that Jesus was going to be raised to life on the third day, that probably never registered in Peter's mind. All he heard, more than likely, was that Jesus was going to suffer and he was going to die. And we can't let the Son of God, the Son of the living God, die. So Peter is saying, hey, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We need to know that truth. We need to know who Jesus is. But we also need to know the mission.
Yes.
And that mission has to be revealed to us as well. Now, Jesus died on the cross for our sins in accordance with Scripture. We needed forgiveness. We needed a Savior to do something with our sins. He was raised on the third day, raised to life on that third day in accordance with Scripture. Why? Because we were dead spiritually and we needed life. Now, that was not something that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, were thinking about. They were looking for a conquering Messiah, one that could come and defeat the Romans. Mm-hmm. And lift up Israel as the preeminent nation on the planet.
Right.
And so when Peter heard that he was going to die, all of his hopes for what the Messiah was going to do were just tossed aside.
Melted away.
Just melted away. And he says, no, this isn't going to happen because you have to defeat the Romans. That's basically what he's thinking. So Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the concerns of God. So what are the concerns of God? Your sins being forgiven, your death being rectified by giving you life and giving you a brand new identity in Jesus Christ. That's why this is such good news.
Yes.
The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it meets the deepest needs of our human heart, and that's the thing that concerns God.
Absolutely. Bob, thanks for those great thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us today for session 5 of our Friday study series based on Bob's top 10 favorite passages. We'll go for number 6 next week, and I hope you're going to be here. But if you have questions in the meantime about anything you've heard or hear on Basic Gospel, well, we invite you to use that phone line that's always open and available to you. It's 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, and we'll be glad to address your question on Basic Gospel. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Also, please remember the need of your support for this ministry. If Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, help us keep the good news coming by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for Basic Gospel. In the meantime, have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.